So do you think when Gary Oldman, there was his assistants were like, we don't have to kill all the apes, do we? Do you think he was the original version said, everyone? I just wanted to see him say that. That's all. But you know, the thing.
Oldman good. Film good. Good film. Go see.
The thing is about Dawn and the Planet of the Apes is, I'm kind of surprised it's really, really good.
It was incredible.
Really? I mean, like, really after, did you not like Rise?
No, I loved Rise, and I was really, really surprised.
That
Really.
Now, that was a surprise because, okay, here's the thing. This is, like, the ultimate film hiccup is in the early 2000s, Tim Burton decided, hey, I'm going to relaunch Planet of the Apes. And everybody went, that's cool, because none of us had really come to a clear decision on whether Tim Burton was an asshole at that point.
True.
Spoilers, he is. And one of the reasons he
finally
is...
Finally, I can fall off that fence.
Yeah. And one of the reasons he is because he took Planet of the Apes, one of the best sci-fi movies ever made.
True.
And just took a big steaming dump on
Wasn't
it.
Wasn't that the movie
the
with...
The dump was shaped like Donnie Wahlberg, or Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah. Wasn't that the movie with the weird scene where Marky Mark makes out with an ape?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair.
And, and even weirder because it's Helena Bonham Carter who is Burton's longtime partner. So he, like, made a movie to dress his monkey up like an ape. And then like,
to dress you his had him up like an
to dress his girlfriend up like
is
an ape and make out.
Yeah, I was like,
racist, right?
No, I'm being speciesist. It's very different. dress his girlfriend up like an ape and have her make out with the big steaming pile of crap shaped Mark Wahlberg. And, you know, it's just like, dude, just move to Germany. You don't have to torture all of us.
Yeah, the funny thing is, he didn't even see Transformers 4 and he's this bad.
Yeah, like, you're just pissed about proxy.
No, I generally like Paul. I like Wahlberg, you know. It's like I heard Huckabee's. I think he's perfectly
You're probably
likeable.
Wearing Calvin Klein underwear right now.
I am. It's a little hiked up, to tell you the truth.
That's how I know.
That's the thing. These are not Tim Burton's plans.
Yeah, and that's why when Rise came out, it was like, oh, well, God, are they really going to, like, tack on to that shitball? And they kind of, like... They came out, they kicked the carcass of the Planet of the Apes reboot into the corner and said, no. Here's what we really meant. And since we own this great sci-fi series, we're actually going to take a serious stab at remaking it. And it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was a really fun, cool take on it, kind of mixed up some of the later Planet of the Apes movies and combined it with Outbreak and Bob's Your Uncle.
The weirdest thing about the series is it's kind of the original series, but backwards.
Yeah.
It's like starting from the end and working its way back towards the beginning.
Because time is a loop, so they can start anywhere they want.
Sure.
I thought it was a flat circle. I don't...
It's wibbly and wobbly and flat, and it depends on it. Really depends on how many Lone Stars you've had.
Well, man, people are impassioned. These are great apes.
Oh, nice.
See, because they're also actually awesome. Great apes.
I thought Brian wasn't here this weekend. I thought Brian wasn't here.
You got your orangutans and your gorillas and your chicks.
Yeah, I want to dedicate that play on words to Brian. Yes. Wherever he may be. We freed him.
Pour our own bonobo monkey.
Pour out a little beer for him, which he will probably be drinking right now at Convergence.
We're not actually doing that. It's a waste of alcohol.
Yeah, no. You're right. Good point.
I thought he was at pun training school.
He's at his mom's house right now. Just saying.
Which may indeed.
So maybe he can pick up my bag for me.
Boom! Oh, hey! Yes. Yo, there you go.
Which may indeed be pun training school. Who knows where that came from?
Hey, say hi to your mother for me. See, we brought it all around. Just like time.
Oh, God. Well, this latest film, the sequel to Rise of the Planet
Latest film or earliest film?
Shut up, Bo.
Chris is just going to reach across this table.
Bo has been in the basement drinking black coffee for the past 3 hours.
I'm a little punchy.
One thing that made me a bit nervous about this is that when they were changing the team that were doing it, this one is directed by Matt Reeves, not the guy who directed the original. And Matt actually has mainly a television career except for Cloverfield, which was, I thought, quite good.
Yeah.
Let Me In, which was a surprisingly good remake of a foreign film that no one expected to be decent at all. And then this, which I, once again, was like, you know what? At best, it's probably going to be okay. You know, I mean, like, they're going,
wow.
The first one made so much money. Yeah, because it was doing something the original films really didn't totally do. It was like, had a fresh place to start from. It's like, okay, This one feels a lot more like what we were seeing in some of the later films, for instance. And it makes it have the heart of the original Planet of the Apes, or at least the first two, which were arguably the best. You don't even have any of the same returning cast from this one because it's 10.
Well, you have Andy Serkis.
Andy Serkis, you know, true enough.
Arguably the best thing about Rise.
Yes, and playing the head ape here, Caesar.
Yeah, and to be fair, you know, they weren't able to get like a 17-year-old girl to be on set, so they couldn't get Franco.
That's
sort of the problem. Topical. It's
funny.
That's what I'm here for.
Because he likes Young Strange. Doctor Strange. I mean,
it's not strange for him.
Is that the name of our band?
Ooh, Young Strange.
He likes Young Strange.
Oh my God, Doctor Strange should have a sidekick, and it should totally be Young Strange.
I'm looking forward to our jail cells. I think mine will be roomy.
Like all of the monkey motion capture cast came, the one who played the orangutan and Andy Serkis.
Yeah, orangutan.
In fact, the lady ape Cornelia was played by Judy Greer, Cheryl Tunt.
Charlene.
And you're right. It's just none of the humans have returned. It's 10 years later, the beginning of this film, we've seen that, like, the simian virus that we saw kind of them talking about at the end of the last film evolved, got worse, and took out probably, like, 90% of humanity. Like, wiped them out. The only people left are those people who had a genetic propensity for not dying, I guess.
Yeah. It's a very slug gene.
Yeah, right? Where can I get one of those? Jesus. Meanwhile, the apes have been in the forest. They formed their own little civilization. Their whole rule, apes do not kill apes. And Caesar is the unquestioned leader. Except there's starting to be some amount of, like, not revolution, but like
douchebaggery. There's douchebaggery culture.
Everything is fine and dandy, and then all of a sudden they run into a bunch of humans, and everybody's like, "Oh, I fucking remember those douchebags."
Yeah, because a lot of these guys were like these apes were ones that came from the human labs where they've been tested. They were tested on. They don't have fond memories. Caesar's kind of the only one with fond memories.
Yeah, because he wasn't rectally probed to find out if his mascara was going to run.
It's like, oh great, you got to like have a guy play with you and feed you treats all the time. How horrible that must have been.
Actually, I'm still in therapy because of that shit.
Wait, that happened to you too? Holy shit.
I grew up Catholic.
Left and right, you guys. This is edgy shit.
But Jason Clark, Jason Clark usually plays a military guy or a bad guy or things like that.
It's true.
Odd to see him being played like a very likable protagonist, playing Malcolm, who is a survivor.
Who's in the middle.
He really is Malcolm in the middle.
Right. He's one of the lead survivors of a group of humans in San Francisco, him and Gary Oldman, who had formed sort of the leadership of this clan of humans there, and he and a group of people, his wife, or is she his wife? I'm not clear. Yes, second wife, Carrie Russell.
Common law. If you open up a joint savings account, or if you survive an apocalypse together, you are actually common law married in California.
Is this a Catholic thing? I can't tell. I don't know. You weirdos. Cody McPhee, his son, and a couple other dudes. Kirk Acevedo, another television actor who appears in pretty much if a show's been on the air for 3 years and Kirk Acevedo hasn't shown up yet, something is wrong.
If you are a police procedural and you haven't had him play either A, a cop, or B, a criminal, then you're casting.
Something's wrong.
I mean, regardless, he has the most punchable face of anybody ever.
He's actually, he's one of the main characters in Band of Brothers,
He's been in a lot of great stuff.
He's a talented guy.
But they all go into the woods. No idea the apes are there. Humanity has not seen the apes. The apes have not seen humanity. All is well, but they're there because they're running out of power in the city, and they're like, well, there's an old dam out there. If we can get that thing started again, we can give us power. Uh-oh, apes show up. Kirk Acevedo freaks out and shoots one of them.
Yeah.
Trouble.
Smooth move, actually.
So Jason Clark and Malcolm manage to smooth things out temporarily, but realizes when he goes back, it's like, look, we need that power, or we're not going to make it, and decides to be the guy to go out there and try and make peace and find a way to make this work. Unfortunately, there's various people on the human side who aren't real happy about this whole deal and don't think it's going to work, and there's an ape who is like, you know what, here's my chance, okay? I've never been real happy with being second banana, if you will. What?
Well, I think, I think they do a good job of, at first he's very much like, I'm loyal to Caesar. Caesar saved my life. He got me out of the lab. And then he has a very solid arc of like, oh, the humans are back. Fuck them. I remember what they did to me. Fuck them. Fuck their whole race. They are not to be trusted. And then finally getting to the point that he's like, you know what? Since he's not really being such a good leader, I bet I could do dandy at it.
So. Right. And along the way, we see, I mean, if you ever watch the original films, there are certain things you come to expect the apes to eventually be doing. One of which is riding horses.
Throwing nets over humans. To see.
Throwing nets over humans. And carrying machine guns.
Yeah!
There's a reason they call this Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Because as much as the first three quarters of this is really sort of a tense, but very sort of emotional, let's, you know, both sides, we don't want war, let's try and keep it from happening, of them trying to come together and find they have more in common than they don't. The last third is just like, fuck it, let's all kill each other.
Yeah, it's realistic because they realize, oh, why don't we just kill them?
Yeah, but I will.
You know, like human beings used to do.
Well, that's what good sci-fi does. Oh, good sci-fi does is find a way to, like, have it be about ourselves. We're not really talking about apes here. We're talking about just other human beings.
We're talking about Arabs.
But what?
Oh, sorry.
I was trying not to be specific so as not to be labeled the racist.
And I would like to say that I wasn't talking about Arabs.
I was talking very generally.
No, actually, it's more about blacks and whites.
Oh, God.
Well, okay, well, yeah. I'm going to zoom on past. what I do like is that they evolve that conflict to where it gets to that point. They don't just say, and now we need an action scene, and so we're just going to snap it ahead. But I do have one complaint that you were talking about, well, they need the dam to get power. There has to be somebody amongst the survivors, I'm not trying to be nitpicky, with some rudimentary engineering skills.
Who can reactivate a nuclear reactor?
Not a reactor. That's my problem, is they present the two options, a nuclear reactor and a dam. Well, you can just build a windmill.
They should just put some people on...
Or a steam engine
or
something.
Put some people on bikes attached to chains.
Could you build a windmill? I can't build a windmill. I mean, it's a pretty small colony.
Comparing a windmill's electrical output to the output of a hydroelectric dam is like comparing a firecracker to a
But my point is they don't need the dam. They don't need to light up the entire city. They need to light up their colony.
You know that one...
It's an artificial conflict they put up to get you...
I don't know if I agree
conflict.
With that.
Yeah, I don't agree either. Do you know that one of the...
Yeah, they really make it... I'm sorry.
Really?
Yes.
Holy shit. Hey,
let
guys.
Let the girl talk.
Man. Wow. I got this microphone. No, all I was going to point out. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Put your pants on. I was only going to point out that I don't know if you've ever been up close to one of these windmills, air quotes, but one of those blades is bigger than a semi-truck.
No, I'm not talking about like the big like corporate windmill.
Because that's
windmill.
What
I'm
it takes.
Like a Holland windmill.
There were ways we were reducing power before the digital age.
Okay, but you know.
That's my point.
Yes, but not.
It's an artificial conflict that they constructed.
For several thousand
that's my
people.
Point.
Oh, okay.
It's more than a single windmill.
Yeah, they want to light up the entire city. Like, we don't have to light up the entire city. You have to light up the services for that colony. The thing they said in the movie, well, we have to be able to reach people. That's a... You don't need everything they're talking about.
I'm not going to disagree with you when you said you were nitpicking, because you are.
I'm not nitpicking. I'm pointing out a flaw in the movie.
No, I don't think that's a flaw in the movie. But you know what? That's neither here nor there. We'll let you settle this one in court.
I'm going to be quiet.
Your Honor... Come on, do the Southern lawyer, Elliot.
I'm not doing
Southern. Just do it.
Ironically, dance.
You know, I'm feeling kind of oppressed, Elliot. I don't know about you, but if we've got to take up sides here.
Yeah. You know, I think that the strength here ultimately is once again on the... Well, for one thing, this director does a great job letting this movie be smart, letting it have a lot of heart, and also giving you enough action where you're getting, like, sort of the all three things from a really exciting, dramatic film. I mean, there are moments in this film I honestly was tearing up, and there are moments I was on the edge of my seat, like, anxious.
Yeah, yeah. They really make you care about the characters, and a lot of that is in the motion capture in this is incredible. I mean, you can really tell that they are using the best of technology to capture this expressiveness from the actual actors. And it completely works. It's, you know, better than any, like, you know, artificially rendered thing could be.
And I hate to point out specifically Andy Serkis, because all the people who were playing the apes were doing a phenomenal job.
His son was great.
Yeah. The guy, whoever it was that was playing his son.
And I loved Maurice. There's an orangutan.
Oh, Doc Shaw.
Maurice. Great.
Yeah, Maurice the orangutan is definitely the one you just want to hug.
Yeah, he is like a...
He's
teaching the young apes how to read and how to be like good apes. And it... anytime he comes on screen and he's in danger, like, I could feel the whole audience be like, fuck you, don't you hurt him!
You can kill all the other apes, but Maurice, you don't touch Maurice!
And then she would start singing Rock Me, Dr. Zayas. Really,
they really finally made a monkey out of me.
But that being said, Serkis once again nails this film as Caesar, the leader of the apes, who's stuck, you know, right in the middle of these two things, that he's a racist, let's face it. He's like, humans are not as good as apes.
He is a monkey Tom.
Yes.
There's no question about it.
And
this is an edgy review. Pushing the envelope on this review.
He's like had good experiences with the humans too, so but he doesn't trust them at all, and you know, blame him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's this really effective scene where he's just like, you know, just chill out. Humans are trustworthy, and the bad monkey is just like, oh yeah, look at the scar. I got these all in a delightful operating room to, you know, find out whether, you know, pop rocks are poison.
Well, and that's one thing that I really liked about Caesar's character, who's like, of course, the head ape, is that he clearly has had good enough experiences with humans that once he's shown good people, he develops friendships and caring for them. But when they show up, his goal is to just appease them so that they'll go away. Like, his speeches have a real wisdom to them. He's trying to tell the people, hey, if we go to war with these humans, even if we don't give a shit about them, how many apes will die?
Yeah, that's the thing. Is it worth it because you don't trust or like them to know that tons of us are going to die?
That tons of us are going to die. And I was amazed at how they did such a good job with animated ape face to, like, convey that kind of wisdom, too. It's like, it sounds funny even to say, but they did an amazing job with it. Absolutely. I was like,
I have a real bad case of resting animated ape face, actually.
We've been meaning to talk to you about that, Beth.
Can you stop grooming?
This isn't actually a review. This is
the good news is that it's a podcast. No one knows but us.
I can't stop it.
Which is also why I'm not putting my pants
on. By the way, it doesn't bother you. I'm pulling ticks off you and eating them. It doesn't.
No, that's perfectly acceptable social behavior. Okay.
That's also how my cat got a tapeworm.
No way.
Oh, geez. Yeah, you don't want to do that.
Grooming?
Potentially, or a lizard.
You.
But there's this
Chris.
It wasn't me. I've never even met Tiger Tron.
Tron is the world's cat.
There's a point right at the beginning of the third act of this, really, where, like, it's clear that the apes have still things that they could learn and get from humans. Mm-hmm. And it makes me wonder, it made me really just sort of think about, like, wow, the distant future of this franchise and where these characters are going to go from here. And, you know, assuming it goes along the lines of the franchise, humans ain't going to make it.
And I think that's why when I was sitting there in the theater and I kind of felt myself like tearing up, it was at the really sweet moments where they're so close to finding peace. Like, human leader and ape leader are just inches away from, like, preventing, well, for example, that Mark Wahlberg movie. All of that from ever happening. And that's when I was tearing up, is that they did such a good job at the tragedy of, like, what you're watching.
Yeah,
it's just like, God, broken heart.
You are ultimately watching a film that is tragic because we all know where it's going eventually.
Mark Wahlberg.
Nobody wants to see that.
Nobody wants to see that again. Oh, my God.
To war for the planet of the apes.
I'm willing to watch part of him, but not in that movie.
Burn me once, Tim Burton. Shame on you. Burn me every time since then. Fuck yourself.
You can't burn me again.
Well, you make a good point, because I feel like this movie really benefits from the format they're in. If this was a TV series, they couldn't be as nuanced and as uplifting, because you got about a 20-year period, according to the movie, where humans just die out. I feel like they really benefited from the Walking Dead and zombie movies and post-apocalyptic where they're coming back, because they could just have all they had was an opening sequence where we're just told all this happens. And since we all are so well versed with that now, we just accept it. And now what they can do from this movie on is when we get to the next movie, when apes really ascend, they can just go back and do the same thing. And we can just assume that, oh, they took it to them. And that's fine. I'm not criticizing, but they really benefit from that format.
It would be interesting to see if it's further enough along that there's so many few left humans and they've devolved into pure barbarism, whereas the apes have really evolved up more, that much more towards civilization.
All I know is that I hope Franco's character got his Indian doctor girlfriend pregnant in the last one, so there's enough DNA going on that in the next, like, two or three franchises, we'll get a Jonathan Lithgow looking character who can say, "It is my goddamn planet, monkey boy."
I will second that if he throws his own feces.
You mean if.
Yeah, I was going to say. It's part and parcel right there. I think there's a – you know, there's very little in here I didn't like. I will say it was a little slow getting started, I thought, and I was a little like, where are you going with this? But I felt like by the end of the first act, it was on firm ground and moved ahead with a very good pace. You know, it's funny. I was talking to another critic there who went in with her husband, and they both hated it. Her husband left halfway through the movie. He's like, that's the most boring film I've ever seen.
Wow.
It wasn't boring. What the fuck were you expecting? Like, was it just constant ape? You the guy who liked Transformers?
There should have been more space gorillas.
Sorry, we've suddenly come under attack.
Spider just fell from the ceiling on towards Bo.
Hey, Bo, no.
No, don't flick it towards me.
That's a life. Just because it can't speak to us, did you learn
nothing?
You're
no ape.
All right, well.
Which, you know, thank God it's not Dawn of the Planet of the Spiders. I would have left.
I'd kill myself. I'd be done. Nope, you know what?
Nope.
We're going to see what's after this. If there's nothing, it's still better.
My girlfriend suggested, you know, if this was Dawn of the Planet of the Cats, they would not have let us live very long either.
No, no.
But first, they would have tormented us all. Like, dance, human, dance.
What are you talking about? You would be their king.
No, I wouldn't.
I actually like the idea that they would just horrify us in the way we horrify them, like Tigertron would be like, but Ashley, I just want to clip your nails. They've gotten too long. And I'm like, no, bitch, no. Get off my head. Don't clip my nails. They're going to get my fingers.
And they'd be shooting lasers at us instead of just playing, like, oh, you like the red dot, do you?
Speaking of animals messing with us, one of my favorite parts of the movie was where...
keep it clean, Elliot. Keep it clean.
You know me too well. That's where Koba... does the sort of soft shoe on the soldiers.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, look at me. I'm just an
ape. Oh, yeah. He totally seven fetches it.
And you got some mess. Like, I guess it right.
Exactly. And, like, when he breaks away from him, you can just like, you motherfucker, I'm going to come back and shoot you fuckers.
That's pretty good. One thing I really liked is the question of loyalty that it kind of brings up, because we all know that shit's about to hit the fan, and Caesar is a great ape. And so... are a couple of the humans, you know, great apes, and they help each other, and now there's going to be a war between them. And I don't know, I liked the question of, like, what the right thing to do was.
Well, yeah, I mean, you see humans turning against humans for the sake of peace, and you see monkeys turning against monkeys for the sake of peace.
Well, yeah, exactly. When they're like, dude, there's probably going to be a war, and they're sitting there looking at each other. I mean, there was a way to end it right there.
Ultimately, this is a really, I mean, despite the fact there's lots of uplifting moments and heartwarming stuff, it's a really dark film.
It's super dark.
It's very dark. And it's
like
funny
there's no
like,
winners.
This has really become more and more of a trend, not just with apocalypse films, with films like, look, like we've kind of given up. Human nature is ultimately we're all bad. There's a few good ones in there, but ultimately we're bad and maybe we don't deserve to be here. And this is a trend I see more and more with these films. I'm not saying I agree with that. I'm just saying it's getting to the point where no one even bothers to comment on it anymore. It's so common.
Believable. That's hell.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I agree. But
not
I think,
you, Bo.
I think,
no.
I think what this movie does really well is it says our nature may be bad, but you can overcome that. You can really try, but it's what is your interest pushing you towards what you're going to do? Because if your interest is peace, then yeah, you're going to make peace regardless if they're ape or human. But then you got Gary Oldman's character at the end who chooses a different interest.
But that's the thing, though, is that it's saying that, yes, there are people that way. Mm-hmm. But the problem is there aren't enough of them. And the masses tend to head towards whoever's the angriest.
That's true. One thing that did disappoint me about this movie, no smoking monkeys.
Yeah, well, you can't have that anymore. It'd have to be rated R, so.
What? That sucks.
Yeah, you know, it seemed like Malcolm should have had, like, a really big cigar. You know, it was orangutan chomping on a cigar.
Maurice
know?
Should have had a few
Maurice,
cigars.
Sorry, not Malcolm.
Aw, Maurice.
We
so
love
good.
Maurice. Well, anyway, let's go to final thoughts and start with Ashley.
Let's see. I really don't have anything bad to say about this movie. I mean, there was a couple scenes when the apes, like, really lose their shit and they get up on horseback
because
and they finally
threw
have...
it?
No. They kept it.
Are they
go ape shit? You will get your turn. Just kidding.
I hadn't been a pun this time. So
I know. Keep it coming. No, there were a couple scenes during the battle where I was like, okay, that's a little cartoonish. It's also starting to look a little like Guardians of the Galaxy. There was like a few moments where I was like, Koba, you kind of look like Rocket right there. But aside from those very few moments, I don't know. I just thought it was terrific. It looked great. It was super believable. I can't believe how well the script translated. Just really everything about it. I thought it was really engaging right from the beginning, and I found myself kind of on the edge of my seat and about to cry most of the time, and then it ends tragically, just like we all wanted. So let's see. I'm going to give it 9 out of 10 banana peels.
Bo?
I really liked it. I thought the first movie did a really great job of setup and delivery, and I think this does the exact same thing. I had high expectations for it, and I was not disappointed. I think the team, the production team, and the directing team did a really good job of, you know, taking a script that might have been banal if it wasn't handled well, and just doing amazing things with it. It was really, really fun to see. And even though you kind of know where the direction that the film is heading, it's still amazing the way that it manages to make you feel hopeful.
Maybe it won't go that way.
Maybe it
not
won't
this
go
time.
South. Maybe we can work it out with our monkey brothers. I mean, ape brothers. Oh, fucked it again. Anyway, I give it 9 out of 10 blown up Statues of Liberty.
Elliot, I didn't realize we had 10 Statues of Liberty to choose from.
Hey, well, man, it's ones. Time.
That's true.
It's flat circle. It's all over the place.
I really liked it. I thought it, contrary to the people you were talking to, I thought it started really fast. I never was bored. There was even a decent amount of comedy for such a dark movie. I always love seeing Kerry Russell, and I like how they set up the stuff that's going to come next, and I'm not trying to get into it. I'm saying you call them nitpicks. I do have a problem with the way sometimes the script was very convenient. Of how I think it was two apes survived point-blank gunshot wounds and that the doctor could heal everything. And
you know, they were also talking apes.
But this is my problem.
I'm sorry, Ellie. No, you're right.
Also apes shooting guns for the first time in their lives.
No, the first time was a dude shooting the ape point-blank.
Well, true, but maybe he wasn't shooting to kill.
Okay.
I mean, it's still, even if you don't know he's a talking ape...
I like
ape,
that we're turning on each other before this movie. We're like, no, Elliot,
would you want to spend the rest of your life going, man, I killed that ape. I don't even know what he was going to do. You just want to, like, shoot him in the leg or something.
No, but what I'm saying is that I tend to judge a movie if it's really good and it's really concise based on its terms. Like, Transformers, I know that's stupid. I'm not going to hold it to this by any means.
We've got to stop comparing things to Transformers.
But the first one's so good, and this is so good that when you do make it convenient, like, he falls from that big tree and doesn't die, it's going to bother me a little bit. And all I'm saying is, like, I'm just going to knock it down to a 7 out of 10. A 7 convenient plot excuses out of 10.
Man, you're a nitpicker, I swear to God. I love you, Elliot. But it's like you're trying to find them.
I'm thinking
that arguably this might have happened a different way.
But come on, the guy falls from a really great height.
Wait,
and
you know, you're
fine.
Doing a huge spoiler now, so.
Sorry. Look, I throw chimpanzees for great heights all the time, and they survive.
Monkey powers. I'm not trying to nitpick.
You forgot about super monkey powers, Elliot.
I'm not trying to nitpick.
Also, can we start rating everything in Transformers? Okay, Cupid Date, Tacos.
I refuse to do that, but you know, I'm with you guys except for Elliot. God bless you, Elliot.
I'm not trying to be the obvious. No, I'm just okay.
You be who you are, Elliot. Okay. That's all we ask.
Which is an advocate sometimes for horrible, horrible wrong things.
An apificate.
That might be a little racist.
I think they have an ape get in the courtroom scene.
I don't think there's an ape anti-defamation league quite yet.
Can we task one of our fans with figuring out how many of our reviews end up racist? No, like 70% of the reviews.
Only if you choose to look at them that way. God help us, please. This is going to be a hell of a night of editing. No, it won't. I'm going to leave it all in here because I'm a masochist and a sadist.
Have fun
also very
outraged.
Lazy.
But I really did enjoy this much more than I thought I was going to. I really need to rewatch Rise of the Planet of the Apes again to decide how I feel about it exactly in comparison with that one. And I really loved that one. And I felt watching this that, like, I wasn't quite as emotionally affecting as that one. Mm. It's still emotionally affecting, but that one had a real solid gut punch or two in it that was like, okay, I'm not just tearing up, I'm crying. You know? And I didn't
really
feel
sweet.
Like it quite reached that level with this. And I'll agree with you, Ashley, that there are points that, you know, I mean, with as much CG as involved here, high-level CG, there's there's points you're like, that looked a little rough. But most of it looks absolutely terrific.
Looks amazing. They did a great job.
I really love the performance. Once again, Andy Serkis just and his animation team knock it out of the block with Caesar. And so I really love this. I'm going to give it 99 out of 100% of humanity dead.
Yay! I just worry about who that's going to leave us with. Gary Oldman? I could do it.
With Gary, just Gary Oldman?
Yeah.
He'd be like, and Mel Gibson.
Oh, there's nothing left but grumpy racists.
Yeah, he was going to just
die. I'll be in a closet somewhere. You guys better live and come get me out.
No, hey, they hate people that are in the closet, too.
Oh, no.
Topical.